All right, let's begin Daf Nun Vav Amud Aleph, about 11 lines, and the lines get wide. The first word on the line is Shadre. For those of you that were not here, in the middle of the story of Kamta Bar Kamta, that Kamta was a friend of the man who made a Suda. Bar Kamta was his enemy. He sent a messenger to go get Kamta, and instead Bar Kamta came. The man threw him out. Bar Kamta was willing to pay for his own meal, for half the meal, for the entire meal, and the man who made the Suda threw him out anyways, and because of that, he wanted to get back at the Chachamim, at Klal Yisrael, because no one stopped this man from embarrassing him. They sent an animal to be makir at the korban, and when they were sent it, the Bar Kamta and Machlokes, whether he made a cut in the lip or he made a mum in the eye, either way there was a mum. Chachamim were not sure if they should be makir the korban or not. They were not sure if they should kill Bar Kamta. They did nothing. The Kesar saw that Klal Yisrael, were not going to bring the carbon, and they were belittling the Malchus, and therefore now they were sending somebody, Vespasian, to go and to destroy Klal Yisrael because they did an avla to the Malchus. One of the reasons that it says is that why, we didn't discuss this last time, but why was it that in terms of them not accepting the carbon, why didn't Klal Yisrael, why didn't the Chachamim just send back and explain that the reason why you're not accepting your carbon is because it has a mum in the eye or it has a mum in the lip, not because we have something against you, not because we don't respect you or the kingdom, but rather because there is a mum in it and we can't. So Mefarshim explained that would have been part of it, that the Goyim would have looked down at Klal Yisrael, because Klal Yisrael are greater than the other nations of the world, and Klal Yisrael, when they bring a carbon, it has to be complete pure. It can't even have a mum in the eye. It can't even have a mum in the lip. It can't have any mum. As opposed to the Goyim, if they bring a carbon, as long as it's not missing a whole limb, an aver, then they can bring their carbon. A Goyim also have the opportunity to bring carbon, but it's not the same level as when a Yid brings a carbon. And therefore, had the Chachamim, or Klal Yisrael, sent back to the Kesar, that you should know we won't accept your carbon, but we're not allowed to halachically, that would have angered them as well. And they would have said, oh, you see, the Jews think that they're greater than us. They have a greater connection to God, which we do. But that would have infuriated them as well, and it would have caused the same problem anyways. So now, this is after, again, we said that he sent the first person, came, the Kesar came, and he shot at...
Do you have to make your statements?
For what?
You're saying it's not going to work, but it's just try.
No, they had cheshbonos. They thought about it. It wasn't that they didn't think about it. The best pshat, to my understanding, is that we said last time was that they had a question. What should we do? Should we mock this carbon? Should we not? Or should we kill Bar Kamta or not? And what did they do? So he said, we're not sure what to do. They suggested one thing, we don't know. It says it was a tain on him. We said at the end of the day, the Gemara says it was a tain on Rabbi Zechariah, that it was Zechariah ben Abkulit, that he didn't say anything. For different various reasons that we discussed last time. But ultimately, one of the Mefarshim explained is that when they said, hold on, let's go ask Bezdin. He said, let me go ask Bezdin. Bar Kamta ran with the animal, took him back. You see, they didn't want to be Makar. They didn't want to be Makar of your carbon. You see that they're being married in your malchus. So, no, they definitely weren't doing that, making their heshtablis. And again, the Chachamim, the Gemara says, the Tainan of Tzchaya, that maybe he didn't do enough heshtablis. And right. Bari says that because of his anivus, we explained different shatim of his anivus, but he inherently did, you're asking a question, where was the heshtablis? He did something wrong. Apparently, the Gemara is asking, he definitely did something wrong. Exactly on what level, what it was, what the anivus was, that we discussed last time. So the first person that came near in Kesar came, he shot arrows towards Yerushalayim, towards the other ways, he had a simon that Klal Yisrael would be destroyed, and the Beis HaMikdash should be destroyed, but he asked a child Psykli Psuke, and the child told him basically that God does want that Beis should be a Churban Beis HaMikdash, but whoever is going to do it, it's going to end up, Rabbi Hashem is going to take care of him, and he became a Ger. That was the end of the last Shikul Gemara. Shadri Aleil asked the Sinus, they sent Vespasian Kesar. So they sent now a new person, the other person who they sent ran away, became a Ger. So now they sent someone else. Asad Sarala Tlashoni. He made a siege around Yerushalayim for 3 years. There were three rich people. Their names were Nakdin ben Gurion, Uben Kalba Savua, Uben Tzitzis Akesis. Now, where did they get their names from? Nakdin ben Gurion was called such because she nakta loyachama ba'avure, because the nakta lashon of Nikita, making a hole piercing through the clouds so the sun would continue to shine. The Gemara in Tainis and Bafiyutes, I believe it is, Bachav, tells us the mice over there that there was a loan taken out, and Nakdim was supposed to pay back before it became night, and he was running out of time, and it would have been a big Chil Hashem, and the Rebbe Nishma made it that the sun stayed out longer, and that's why he was called Nakdim. Ben Kalva Savur, Shakal Nichnas, the basic issue, Hurav, Kakalev, Yetik issue, Saveya. Anyone that used to come into his house, they'd be hungry as a dog, they would go out completely satisfied, satiated. Ben Tzitzis Arkeses, Shehoyset Tzitzos, and Nigreris Algabi Xosis. Because his Tzitzis, when he had his Tzitzis was dragging along on the floor, never went on the floor, but rather went on Xosis, cushions. He was a very, very wealthy person. Ekadami Shehoyset Xosai Mutelas, being daily Rome. That his pillows were amongst the pillows of the Romans. That's how important he was. So we're talking about three, the very, very, very wealthy people. Now what did they do? Chad amaluhu ana zainalu b'chite v'sari. I'm going to sustain Klai, so give them sustenance with chite and sari, with wheat and barley. Chad amaluhu b'dechamra b'demilchu mishchan. I'm going to supply Klai, so with wine, salt, and oil. Chad amaluhu b'datzivi. I'm going to supply wood. The Shivchu Rabbanu the TV, and the Rabbanu Mishabeach, the one who said that he's going to give wood, to the TV, the Chista, because what did Chista do? Called Eklide Havimasal Hashama, he gave over the keys to all of his storage houses, Bar the TV, except for the one of the wood, the Amar of Chista, because of Chista said, Akalba the Chiti Boy Shitin Akalbi the TV. You need to have 60 storehouses of chiti to the chiti boy shitin akalba the tzivi, to cook, to make one storehouse full of chitin, you need 60 full of wood, which means that the wood is a very valuable thing, and it was just being shabeah that was the most valuable of all them. Havaluhu lemeiza esim v'chad shasa. It was enough to sustain Klal Yisrael for 21 years. Havaluhu ahane bar yene. They were bar yene. What are bar yene? Let's look at Rashi. In the third white line, the Gemara on the right of that, you see the word bar yene. Bar yene is a Rashi anoshim reikim upayichsim l'mochama. They were empty people. They were like from the lashon of a boar, and they wanted to go to l'mochama. They said, "We're going to fight. We're not going to just sit here. Very nice that we have supplies for 21 years to sustain ourselves, but we're going to go fight." So Amaluhu Rabbanan. The Rabbanan told them, "Neipik v'naveit shlomo badayu. Let's go and make peace." They told the bar yene, "Let's go make peace." Loy Shafkin, they did not, they said, Bayanim says, nope, we're not doing that. Amaluhu. So the Bayanim said to the Rabbanan, Nepik bin Avet Kirba Badai, let's make a Mochama, let's go fight. Amaluhu Rabbanan, Loy Mistayay Milsa. It's not gonna help, fighting Mochama is not gonna help. As we said last time, the Murili Ben Yayada, who explained that the Bayanim were timing that we're sitting and learning Torah, and Torah protects from everything, like you know, that says, Akoko Yaakov Yidayim De Esav, that Yitzchak promised Yaakov Avinu that as long as you're in Torah, Akoko Yaakov, then Yidayim De Esav, Esav will have no koyach over you. But the time that Ben Yehuda says is that the Rabbanan says is, but over here, the Klal Yisrael would not be able to defeat their enemies, was because they spoke Lashon Hara. When you use the koil, the lashon of your mouth, you're using it for Torah, it's hakka wonderful. But if you're then going to take it and use it for something bad, then it taints the Torah, and it's not a pure Torah, and then HaKol Kol Yaakov, it's not going to help even against it. You're not going to be Minatzeach. So Kamu, they got up. Kaluhu Lahanu Amri Dechiti Vesari Vahavi Chafna. So the Bayanim went, they got up, and they burned all of these storehouses of wheat and barley. Vahavi Chafna. And there was a famine. There was no food. They destroyed everything. The Rashi, let's look at the two Rashis below what we said before. Klinhu Lahanach Amri. They destroyed the storehouses of grain and wood. They should go fight. Now, the Gemara does not say that they burnt the storehouses of wood. The Ben Yehuda asks, why does Rashi have to tell us that they burnt the storehouses of wood? If they don't have any wheat, they don't have any barley, they don't have any food. The point was that they should not have food. They would have no choice but to go to Melchama. That was the Bayanim came up with this idea, we're going to destroy all their food, they'll have no choice but to go and fight Melchama. So why? Who cares about the wood? If you burn the wheat, you burn the barley, it doesn't say anything about the salt, the oil, and the wine, because you can't be sustained on that either. You need to be able to heat them into iron. So why the wood? So the Ben Yehuda explains, he says that the Metzius is that if you're going to have wheat and barley burn, he says it takes a while till it all burns. So Klal Yisrael would have stopped the burning. They would have put out the fire. He says what the Bayanim did was they took this wood, this expensive wood, and they made a circle around all of the chitim and the sayim. They made a huge bonfire that you couldn't put out. In other words, to put out a fire of wheat and barley is much easier than to put out a fire of wood. So they made it basically a huge, big bonfire to protect the burning of the wheat and the barley, and that's how they were able to effectively destroy all of the wheat and the barley. And that's why Rashi tells us that they also burnt the wood, because that was the vehicle that they were able to accomplish actually burning the wheat and the barley. Very, very technical, but it doesn't say. They were obviously a very powerful group amongst Klal Yisrael. I don't know how many they were.
This is obviously a big project. They all went out of the store,
They were definitely a fair amount of them. The Bayanim were in control. Presumably it wasn't 10 people out of Klal Yisrael. I don't know how the Bayanim were a large faction. I don't know how many people. I didn't see anywhere it says how many people, but it obviously was a significant group, because the Klal Yisrael was scared of them. They were bullies. And chances are if they're 5 or 10 or 15 people, they'll be overpowered by the rest of Klal Yisrael. They were something to be reckoned with. They were power to be reckoned with, which means that they must have had a significant sizable amount of people. The Gemara continues. Marta Bas Baises Asir Tidu Shalayim Havya. There was a lady whose name was Marta Bas Baises. She was a very rich person in Yerushalayim. Shadarte Lishluche, she sent out her messenger of Amalei Zil Aisi Le Smida. Go bring me Smida. What Smida? Rashi tells us, Silas, go bring me fine flour. At the Ozel, by the time he went, is Davin. It was all gone. It was all sold out. There was none left. Asa Amala Smida Leka Chirat Ika. There is no more of, I'm sorry, I went out to buy you Smida, but there is none left. Would you like, but there is a chibra, so would you like me to go get that? Amralei zil aisili. She says, okay, go bring me a chibra, sir. At the ozel is daven. By the time he went, it was sold out. There's no more left. Also, v'amala chibrisa leka. There's no more chibrisa. Gushkara eka. But there is gushra, which is like a coarse type of bread. Amalei zilai sili. Go bring me that. At the ozel is daven. By the time he went, there was none left. Also, v'amala gushkara leka kimcha desayre eka. There's none of that left anymore. But there's still barley flour left. She said, go bring it to me. At the Ozel, by the time he went out, it happened, it was all sold out. Avashlifa Misana Amarashi went out. This lady went out without shoes. This lady, Marta Bas Baises. Epic Va'afsi Imash Kafna Midi Demecha. I'm going to go out myself and see if I can find food myself. Esav la parta bekaro mesa. She ended up, her heel stepped on the dung of an animal, and she died. Kari ala rabbeichem mezakai. Rabbeichem mezakai said on this, on her haraka bach vanuga shaloi nash lekafragla. She was a delicate person, that when she stepped on the sole of her foot, touched the ground, she died. She was a very pampered lady. Now, a couple of interesting things over here. Number one, we just said in the Gemara before that there were three rich people. We had Nagdimin, we had Kavah Sevua, and we had
Titzis.
We had Ben Kessis. Now, so we had three people that were very rich and put up all this money. They were from the richest people, it says. She was the richest lady there. What happened to her? Why wasn't she putting up anything? Because the Gemara doesn't tell us. The Gemara tells us these three people put up, one put up chit and saira, one put up oil and wine and salt, and one put up the wood, which we said. So apparently she did not give anything, which was a tain on her, which some of the Mefarshim explained. This is why she ended up dying. It goes through this whole thing telling us is because she was stingy. Now let's take this a little bit further. So we have the Ein Yaakov says, beer. Shalakain hivgisha gemara shemarta bas baisis hoisa asiris Yerushalayim. Fisha ba laima shafila shahisa asir mikol anshir Yerushalayim. Even though she was the richest of all anshir Yerushalayim, lehoisa balas stucker. She was not a balas stucker. She didn't get stucker. Kemosh loishis hasirim, hashirim, hacherim. She has nazbu lazin and niyev Yerushalayim. The other three, we know, they went and they said, okay, it's time to ship in for Klal Yisrael. We're gonna give what we can. The Gemara is going to say in a minute that she said, okay, according to the second sheet, she didn't die right away, but before she died, she said, what do I need all this gold and silver for? It's worthless, and she threw it out in the streets because she wasn't going to live anyways. Ubein Elio says an interesting pshat. Sha'atam, Shemesa Machilas Greger Shalab Tzadik. You know what? Let's do the Gemara first and then we'll come back to this chat. So that's one way, it's Machlek is how she died. Either the first one was that she stepped outside and she stepped on Zevel of dung of a behemoth and she died. The second chat is, let's go a little bit further here.
So why doesn't she say that this guy, this Evan, keeps going back and says, well, they don't have this, but they have that. Okay, go get it. Why, after the second, third time, why didn't you just bring back over that?
It's an excellent question. And the Mefarshim say that it was showing that this was destined from above, that there was going to be a Horban. No matter what you're going to try to do, people have this. You know, you go, you want to, you know, buy your house or sell your house. You know, you sell your house, you want to sell it for $1 million. The market's at 950. I'm going to try to get $1 million. The market goes down to 9. Now you're down to 950, and you just keep on missing it. And all of a sudden, the market keeps on going down, and you keep on trying, just missing it. She wanted the good food. She didn't want the cheaper one. You know, and that, every time that he sent her out again, that she was, you have to understand also, she was a very rich lady. She didn't eat the only type of bread she really ate. Was the first type, was the fine flour bread. She didn't eat any of this other stuff. The flour barley, that was for the peasants. She didn't eat that. She didn't eat the coarse bread. She didn't eat this stuff. So that's one of the explanations, that he couldn't even fathom that she would eat that. When she said, there's nothing else, I'll go take that. And she kept on going down in Madrigas for her. So that's one of the reasons. There's actually another pshat that the, so that was, that's actually, you know, I can read it to you inside from the Maral. This is not a happenstance. This is all the gzera of the Baruchan. When he wanted to go buy smida, which we said was the fine flour, he couldn't find it. He wasn't ready to buy the next lot. Wasn't ready. And the Rebbeinu Shel made it that by the time he'd be ready in her mind that now she can accept that lower level of bread, Rebbeinu Shel made it that wasn't available anymore. She thought she was so rich. Before this, she could have had anything in the world she wanted. She could have had anything. And she could, you know, all of a sudden, she wants fine flour, she can't get it. So she said, okay, I can't get fine flour. I have millions of dollars in the bank. But okay, she had to get on the level to accept that I can't buy fine flour and I can only buy coarse flour. And I can only buy... And as she finally accepted, the Rebbe says, okay, I'm going to show you. You're now ready to accept. You know, sometimes people that become a Baal Gaiva, they're rich, they think they don't need God and they have everything, you know. So it was a level by level that she kept on seeing that was the Bnei Shemayim, that doesn't matter how much money you have, the Bnei Shemayim runs the world. Whenever she wanted, there was none left. Until she decided she wanted, there was tons of it around. The second she decided, I want to take that, gone. He said, that's what we see. Hey, Vinu Shakalish Brochu Sivashi. It's sure that the Baruch Shalom is here. You shouldn't think that there's no Baruch Shalom, no matter how much money you have. The Marsha says that she mishmayim sivas hamaisa ba'arba minelecha. What does that mean? If she was man she hoyi beis hamikdash kayim hoyi makrivim arba minelecha toida. There were four different types of bread that were brought for a korban toida. U'mekivin she hoyi kafui toiva resorfu kol mizayin yaseihem, because they're bayoinim, they were kafui toiv. The Baruch Shalom gave, I mean, who gives them the right to go burn all these valuable things, the chitin, the sa'irim, the food? Malkashmas, that's what he's saying. They went, they're kafui toiva. The Baruch Shalom gave it to these three rich people. These three rich people donated it to Klal Yisrael, ready to give it to Klal Yisrael, and the Bayanim went and says, we don't care, we're going to destroy it. It's unbelievable. It's a kafui toiva, he says. He says, "V'kivu shei kafui toiva v'sarfu kolmas in esayim v'niz bakla hakrovas karban atoyde v'beis hamidosh." Because they still had the beis hamidosh, the beis hamidosh wasn't even destroyed yet. But now they had no food anymore; they couldn't bring a karban toyde anymore. He says, "V'kivu niz bakla karban toyde v'beis hamidosh." Nemchubar bo miyelachak moving more. Each one was an einish. Again, this was only to her. For some reason, she was representing the bayanim over here, but it was to show that each one was an einish in and of itself. That each one, now you can't get this bread, now you can't get that bread, all four different breads. Going a little bit weiter here. Ikad Ami, others say, Gregis Rav Tzadik Achla V'is Tnenisa Umesa. She ate the Gregis of the dried figs from Rav Tzadik. She became nauseated by it, Umesa, and she died. What are these Gregis of Rav Tzadik? Rav Tzadik Yosef Arbon Shnin V'Tainisa D'loy Lechor Yushalayim. Rav Tzadik sat in Tainis for 40 years, so there shouldn't be a Churban Beis Hamikdash, Churban Yushalayim. He had an Ochel Midi, had a Mischazi Mevroi. When he would eat anything, he was so gaunt and so skinny because he fasted for 40 years. You can see the food going down. That's how skinny he was. And he says that, Rashi says that he had a Beryakish, I'm sorry, had a Mischazi Begroine. You can see in his throat, because he was so thin that when you could see in his throat, good food actually going down. In Chavi Beria, when he got strong enough, when he was going to go eat something, they brought him dried figs. He squeezed out the juice because he couldn't eat anything solid. Because he was so weak, he didn't have the koyches to eat something of solid. So he took these gregris and he squeezed it out and took the liquid from it. And these were what she v'shadilu. And this is what this Marta Basbais is. This is actually what she ended up eating. These gregris, the leftovers from Reb Tzadik. She took all her gold and silver and she pushed it out into the shuk. What do I need this for? She said, all of your silver is all going to be sent out into the streets. Money's not going to have any value.
Is this again that she's not getting charity?
Is this
not true? But like last minute, she could have given it to Zaka. She did it. She threw it in the street.
Well, the problem is, it's a little bit of a problem at this point to give it Zaka.
Nothing to buy.
There's no food to buy. Klal Yisrael are in big trouble now. It was one of my famous questions of, you know, we're talking about getting, you know, money in the Klal Yisrael took the money in Mitzrayim. They took the Klei Chesed, Klei Zog, the Smolos. What are you going to do with it in the Midbar? The Midbar, the Klai Yisrael had everything. They had the Mon, they had the Mayim, they had the glass. What do you need money for? You know, I have a problem that not for now, but you have to...
No.
What?
They're taking it to Yisrael.
What?
I
Ultimately, the money, yeah, they took into Eretz Yisrael.
But the Mishnah.
Huh?
But here, she could have last minute said, okay, I'm giving it to Aniyam.
But Aniyam can't do anything with the money.
So what?
It could be what you're saying is correct, that ultimately that she rightly wasn't ready. It says is that the Gemara tells us that when a rusher through and through, when he's sitting at the gates of Gehenim, he still can't do it. He's at the gates of Gehenim, it says. Not, he sees this big fire. I don't know if she saw this big fire or not, but he saw that big fire and they can't do tshuva, because a person becomes so ingrained in a person of how he works and what he does, he can't even change. It's just not possible. It's not in him anymore. So it could be what you're saying is correct, or it could be that it was too late at that point. There was no food around. So you're going to give me $1,000 that I can't do anything with because I can't buy anything. You give me restricted stocks, and I can do does me no good right
then
now.
Then again, also now the money is meaningless.
The money is meaningless. It has no value. It would seem that's correct, that it has no value. The Einel Yo Kosav. So there's a pshat here, the Shetam Shemesa Meachilas Gregish of Tzadiku, Yishim Shev Tzadik Yoshe Betayim Shatech Yushalayim. He sat for 40 days. 40 years, I'm sorry, in Tainus, so Yushalayim should not be destroyed. וכן אמר רבי יוחנן בן זכאי לאספסינאיס שאם היו אוי צדיק אחד כרב צדיק ירושלים היו יוכל לחשה. רבי יוחנן tells Vespasian that if there would have been one more tzaddik like Reb Tzaddik, you would never have been able to conquer Yerushalayim. כמובן במדרש דם שחור ירושלים משום שנאת חינם שהייסה ביניהם שגמלו חסדים זה לזה. The reason why there was a korban based on Midrash was because there was sinas chinam. Umarta vazbaisa shayisa asira v'lo gamlu chasadim garmu l'chuban a'ir. Because she was not a goy mel chesed, she did not give over anything, that's what caused the korban. It's only she sadik ashe, it's not a tzidika, it's a maske sabar nefetom. So he says very interesting. I don't know if you're familiar with the story, but there's we know with Eliyahu HaNavi that there was the Isha Shunamis over there. And when he offered her that she can get something special for Gzara Din, she said, I want to be counted part of the people. She says, next to Eliyahu HaNavi, I'm going to look like a Rasha. There is a concept of comparison between if you judge together, when a person becomes, melds himself as part of a tzibur, say he's part of a tzibur, the tzibur is one whole. And when it says, one of the reasons why it says that a tzibur is always miskabel. Why? Because it doesn't mean that I'm doubting my own tefillahs and you're davening your own tefillahs, but if we consider ourselves as one unit, goyim cannot be one unit. But if yidden, if they consider themselves as one unit, if you have kavanah in one of your brachas, and I have kavanah in one of my brachas, and I do have a kavanah, together we can take that all together because we all have the same thoughts. We all want the same things. That's what our goal is. And it says is the Magen Avraham says in Sin Vav that some siddurim say it as well. It says you should, before you daven, you should say that I'm mekabel the mitzvah after liyach. What does that mean? Why that mitzvah? I mean, there's many mitzvahs you can recover on ourselves. Why before davening? So the pshat in the Magen Avraham is partial. When a person you want to have your tefillahs accepted by the Bnei Shalom, but after Le'achah Kamaycha means that you love your fellow man just like yourself. Means is that you're davening for the other person as well. You're not just davening for yourself. You're davening for the tzibur of Klal Yisrael. You're part of the tzibur. If you're part of the tzibur and the Bnei Shalom sees that you love all the Klal Yisrael and you're part of one unit, then your tefillahs will be miskabel. And that's why the Magen Avraham says that you should really v'hafka le'acha kameicha is something that you should focus on before you daven. So over here, because the Marta Basbaisis was actually in bigger trouble because you had the three people before that we discussed who are Shirim, who were willing to give over, and she wasn't, it makes it worse for her than us. My understanding is, what is the pshat? Why is it worse? Because she should learn from them. Whereas if I don't have anything to learn from, so what do you want from me? Everyone's not giving. It's not an excuse if everyone does something wrong. It's not an excuse for doing it. But maybe I don't know any better. But when you see the people over here, these three yashirim, who are willing to give up a lot of whatever, they're very wealthy people, it says, but this must have cost a lot of money to be able to sustain Klal Yisrael for 21 years, and you can't learn from that. So then ends up being a tightness directly on the person, and that's why she got punished. A few words on the parasha. It says in the pasuk that Moshe Rabbeinu says to Klal Yisrael, Moshe Rabbeinu has a taina. He says it's your fault for not going to Eretz Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu has taina on Klal Yisrael. So what does that mean? We know that Pashtus Moshe Rabbeinu was the one who hit the rock, and the Pashtus says he didn't go in because of that. So one pshat is the Rosh. The Rosh gives a mashal that there was a poor person who had a pail, and he went to the well and he rolled down the pail into the well to bring up some water, and all of a sudden he hears snap, the pail is lost. It says only one pail. He looks down, he has no way of getting water, he's distraught. That's it. How's he going to get water for himself, for his family? All of a sudden he hears trumpets and the noise, and the king's entourage is traveling by. They come and they stop by the well for water. They take a nice gold bucket encrusted with the precious stones. They lower it on a new string down, and they hear a snap. The poor man says, "Ah, now I know I'm going to get my bucket back, because that gold one with all the stones, they're going down to get it. Now they'll get mine too once they're going down." And the Rosh says that if the Klal Yisrael, if Moshe Rabbeinu would have gone into Eretz Yisrael, those in Klal Yisrael did the Chatan, they never would have been able to come into Eretz Yisrael. It was only because of Moshe Rabbeinu that the Baruch Hashem says, "I'm going to wait for you till all of Klal Yisrael is ready to go into Eretz Yisrael." That once the Baruch Hashem is bringing Moshe Rabbeinu into Eretz Yisrael, he's going to take the rest of Klal Yisrael with him into Eretz Yisrael. And that's why, that's the reason why Moshe is saying that it's your fault that you're not ready. If you would be, you're right, it's a technicality that Moshe Rabbeinu hit the rock. What the reason, exactly how you understand it, hitting the rock, but that was the reason, that wasn't the sibah, that was the simit, that was what there needed to be an action that Moshe did that caused him. But what was the reason, the root of the reason of why he wasn't allowed to go in? And that was because Klal Yisrael were not ready to go in. Maybe we can say a little bit of a different shot. The Reb Tzaddik, we just said, fasted for 40 years. Why did he fast for 40 years? 40 years, I think Pashtus, we all know 40 is a number that Moshe Rabbeinu went up to receive the Kabbalah of Teri Akdesha. 40 days, 40 nights. That's what the number 40 represents, the number men. Moshe Rabbeinu, the Zohar tells us, was connected Shishim Ribui. He was connected. Moshe Rabbeinu was a shtick of all of Klal Yisrael. That's why the first one explained why Moshe Rabbeinu had to marry Tzipora, who was outside of Klal Yisrael. Because marrying someone in Klal Yisrael is like sort of Ke'en marrying himself. Moshe Rabbeinu encompassed all 600,000 in Klal Yisrael. There had to be an Achdus in it. That was the 40 days. What we do is that we sometimes too connected to the Gashmis. We see that three rich Ashirim, they said, you know what? Now's the time, the Klal Yisrael needs the money. They separated themselves from the Gashmis. They said, we don't need it. It's not so important. The Peres HaMincha, the Talmud of the Rajbe, Yaakov Skili, he says, is the V'yesh Lishol Ma'inyan Isser Rechitza, the Sichon, the Sasan, the Tashem Shamit, Linyan Chorban Abayis. Why do we have? We have Tisha B'Av. We have all these things. You're not allowed to wash. You're not allowed to wear shoes. You're not allowed to, what are all these things? He says is that because you need to make V'yesh Lishol Ma'inyan Amisa, he pured Chibur HaNevesh Min HaGuf. We have to make a separation between our nefesh and our guf. We have to realize it's most important. When Klal Yisrael make the mistake and they have too much of a connection to their guf, and that's all that's important, that's what the cause of averus. That's what the cause of sinas chinam is, because you worry, this is my money, this is mine. Why does he have something else? It says in the Hamigov and the Psich in Bereshis. He says over here that why was the Nachash Baruch Hu Bechurim Bayesheni? Why was the Bechurim Bayeshenu? Bayesheni or Pirashim Sheyeh Sadikim Mechasidim VaAmolei Teira. They were tremendous Sadikim, Chasidim, and Amolei BeTeira. Achla Hayisharim Balichas Elavim. Akar Mesinas Chinam Shevelimam Zezeh Chosdu as Misha Rosh Shnoi Shleike Daidam VeYiras Hashem Shusuke VaPikaris. Anyone, this is not even in Gashmias. They saw they were big Sadikim and they saw someone else that was doing something and said, oh, he's not taking on that chumrah, eh, he's at stake. Oh, he's not bikuris. They didn't have a good eye for the other person. They just they looked at themselves. Oh, I'm a machmir, I'm important. But they didn't look at themselves as achdus, as part of one person. I'm great, he's not, and that was the problem. It says that the Maral Diskin says by the eagle. He says, what happened by the eagle? What was the time of the eagle? He says, unbelievable. He says that when they started making the eagle, each person in Klai saw thought, The reason why I'm not going to get up and say anything is because I'm the only one that doesn't want the ego. Everyone else, I mean, the choshev b'sheirim. Everyone else in Klai Yisrael is maskim. I'm not going to be the one to get up and go up against whole Klai Yisrael. So therefore, everyone was quiet. If everyone would have gotten up and says, "No, I have to do the right thing. I'm not choshev b'sheirim. Everyone else is good. Everyone else does the right thing," then it never would have been an ego, and then the whole achat ego would have happened. Klai Yisrael taka would have been zeichat to go straight into Yerushalayim. So what we learn over here is that we have to take the 40 days, the Torah. In its entirety, it's in purity. We have to make a separation between the guf and the neshama, between what we think is important and what's not important, and realize it's really important. And if we do this properly, we should be zeicha, that we should see that the korban should be nullified by having the rebuilding of the Beis Hamikdash. Maybe amen or amen. Next week, Monday night, unless we're zeicha to have the rebuilding of the Beis Hamikdash, it's going to be eicha and it's not going to be shir. Monday night, we're going to continue on the segue. The issue here tomorrow night at 10 o'clock, Chumash should not be the same things I said tonight. We're going to continue, and Daf Nun Vav Amud Aleph, we're still doing the sugya of Kamsa, Ubar Kamsa. Unfortunately, the Beis HaMikdash was not rebuilt. Even if it were, the Gemara is timeless. But more so, we have a lot to learn of how we can still bring back the third Beis HaMikdash, which should be Zaycha. We're going to continue. About, let's see, it's about six lines from where the lines get wider on the bottom. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. The last word on the line is Sikra. Abba Sikra. Reish Baryayne Yerushalayim. He was the head of the Baryaynim of Yerushalayim. The Baryaynim, as we explained previously, they were a group of boors, doing things the way the Chachamim were telling them, and they wanted, the Rashi told us, they were Anoshim Rekim, they were empty people, Ufaychim Mochama, they wanted a fight. We discussed the Gemara, how they burned all of the supplies. Klal Yisrael, the three rich people in Klal Yisrael had supplies to supply Klal Yisrael with food for 21 years. They went and burnt all of it so that there would be a raw, a hunger, so they would have no choice but to fight. The Baryonim were not allowing anyone to leave Yerushalayim. They had a stronghold on the city, and everyone was stuck there. And they were controlling anyone that left the city or not. So Abba Sikra was the Reish Baryonim of Yerushalayim. He was the head of this group called the Baryonim. Bar Ased Yochanan ben Zakkai. This Abba Sikra was the son of the sister of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. So Havi Sholach Lei Tovetzin Legaboy, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai called to his nephew Abba Sikra and said he should come to him and quite come to talk to him. Also, so Abba Sikra came. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai told him, Omalei, Ad Emas Adi Sehachi, how long are you going to continue to do this? You're killing out Klal Yisrael with the katna, with the raw, with the hunger. So Abba Sikra said, Omalei, Mai Ovid, what do you want me to do? Yamin Elohu? Maybe Katilai. If I try to do anything, I'm the head. I could be the head of the Baryanim. But if I try to do anything against them, they're going to kill me immediately. Omalei, Beishan and Zakkai responded to him, Chazilei Tekanta Vididi Deprek. Find a way for me to get out of this city. Efshir to have a Hatzalah Porta. Perhaps this will bring about a small Hatzalah by doing this. Omalei. So Abba Sikra came up with a plan. Nikoit nafshecha b'tziri. You should make it as if you're sick. Make yourself out to be like a sick person. V'leisi kuli alma v'leshalibach. Let the word spread and let people ask. Everyone should be talking about how is Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai feeling? He's very sick. V'aisi midi saria. And you should bring forth something that smells, something that has a terrible stench. Rashi says, Dovar masriach kigoyin avela. Bring something that has a stench, that smells like an avela. V'agni gaboch. And put it together with you. V'leimer denach nafshe. So you should basically go into a coffin, lay yourself down in a coffin, take something that smells terrible as if it's a stench of a dead body, a dead corpse, and put it with you, and you should have your Talmidim should carry you in the coffin, but don't let anyone else but your Talmidim carry you. Because people should not realize that you're light. The Inu Yadi, the Chayakal Mimisa. Because these Bayanim know that the alive person is light. There's something called dead weight. When you have dead weight, if something is dead, it's much heavier than it's alive. There's a heter, it has to be mistaken for other things, but it is a concept that a bar chai, a live person carries himself. If someone has a child that they have to carry who's able to actually walk himself, the child is called a mitzvah for the other heterim in terms of walking with Dalai Lama and Shusharabim, but it's chai noisei es atzmei, Chazal tell us. A blind person, even if he's being carried, is much lighter than a dead person. So Rabbi Zikr was telling Beichan and Zakai that the Bayanim know this, and you should make sure that only your Talmidim should carry you, because if someone else is going to carry you, they're going to say, 1 second. If this was a dead body in here, it would be much heavier. It's too light. It must be that it's not a dead person, and they can investigate. Look to Gemara. Omid Hachi. And Beichan and Zakai did this plan that Abba Sikri came up with. Nichnas Bari Abba Lazar Mitzad Echad, Yerushua Mitzad Echad. His Talmidim Abba Lazar came on one side and carried the coffin of Yerushua on the other side. Kimatu Refischa, when they came to the entrance to Yerushalayim, when they wanted to leave, Bari Lemitkere, they wanted to stab him. They wanted to make sure, instead of opening it, they said, you know, we're just gonna, stab the person. You know, he pretended he was dead. So they said, how are we gonna make sure? We'll stab him. And if he's alive, he'll be dead then. Amalahu. So they told him, Rebelezer and Yeshua, they said, Yemi Rabban Daku. People are gonna say, is it you stab the Rabban, Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai? It's gonna be a bizarre. Bari le Mitkafe. They said, okay. So then we wanna push him. We push him around. We'll see if he's alive or not. Amalahu, Yemi Rabban Dafu. They're gonna say that you pushed him. It's a bizayin. Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai was the known Gadol Hador, and you're gonna be pushing him. It's gonna be a bizayin. Paschulei Baba Nafuk. They opened it up, so he's able to go out. Let's go back. Well, now before we go a little bit weiter, let's go a little bit at length about what we just discussed. Number one. Abba Sikra, why does the Gemara tell us, why is it important to know that he's Bar Afsei de Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai? This was his nephew, and he called for him. So, the Parsha's Ve'era, it says in the Torah, Vayikach Aaron Yetzali Sheva Bas Aminodav Achos Nachshon Loli Isha. Aaron took Elisheva Bas Aminodav Achos Nachshon. She was the sister of Nachshon Loli Isha. That's who Aaron took for himself as a wife. Rashi says, Achos Nachshon, Mikan Lamadnu, Hanoise Isha, if someone marries an Isha, a lady, Tarech Livdek Ba'achel, he should go check and see her brothers. Because her children, when a person is going to marry a lady, Chazal tells us, as he quotes Medrash in Baba Basra, Daf Kuf Yud, and Shmoyis Rabba, that a person's children will end up like the mother's brother. Correct. So therefore, he's saying that's why the Pasuk tells us, Achos Nachshon. So perhaps the Gemara over here is telling us that the reason that Abba Sikra, he really wanted to do tshuva. He was taking after his uncle, his mother's brother, was Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai. Certainly he wanted to do tshuva, Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai knew that. The only thing was is that he feared for his life, so he had a problem. It says in the Ein Yaakov, he quotes what you just said, the Gemara and Baba Basra, Roy Bonim Daim La'achi Ein. So he says that Yechon ben Zakkai wanted Abba Sikra to do tshuva. So he says that he did not fight the tshuva only because he was scared of getting killed. Not quite like I said the first chapter, based on the passage over here, that perhaps the reason that he was calling him was Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai, not because he thought that he was inherently going to take after him. In other words, his Mida was really that he wanted to be a Tzadik Rechem and Zakai, but he unfortunately got caught up in the web, unfortunately. Very interesting that what happened when they wanted to push Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai. So it says here that in the Ben Yoyada, according to the Ben Yoyada, that Pasuk says that Shayach Rak Lagabi Dekir Sheyiru Harumim Acha Kach Shehu Medukar Aval Lagabi Dechifo Shayach Lemekin Sheyachol Mahas Beis Menem Bekeis Yon Shedachfura. So it is to say, to tell the Bar Yoyin, listen, if you're going to stab Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai, he's going to have stab marks. He's going to be all wounded. And people are going to see, the world is going to see, or the nations are going to see, they're going to say, wow, the Bayanim are not good people. They went and stabbed their own Gadol of Yechon and Zakkai. But why not push them? They're standing at the gates of the entrance of Yerushalayim, and they want to leave, so push them. I mean, what's going to happen? Well, why is that such a big deal? So the Ben Yehuda explains, the case of Yehuda Shidafu, he says, how are they going to know? Do it quietly, no one's looking. There were some Bayonim that had respect that they wouldn't do it without it. Some of them didn't care. We're going to push Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai to see if he's alive or not. But others would not be appreciative of that doing that, even though they were Rishoyim to the extent that they burnt all the food, but not all of them. There were different levels of Bayonim. And therefore, the other bayonim, not other people outside of it, but the other bayonim are going to have highness. They're going to have a civil war. The bayonim are going to have fights. And it's going to cause dissension amongst the bayonim. It's amazing that you have even the bad people. When they work together, when you have to have the Bayanim, in this case, they're the people who are the Yerushalm, who are causing damage to Klal Yisrael, but they have to make sure, that was a taina that Rechem and Zakkai's Talmidim told them, you don't want to have dissension, because if you have dissension amongst yourselves, you're going to lose all your power. And you're only powerful now, you're only controlling Klal Yisrael, only because you have Achdus. But once you lose that, you're going to be out. Let's go a little bit weiter. Kimot, the second to the bottom line, Kimot Elohasim, when he got out, Omar Shlomo Aloch Malka, Shlomo Aloch Malka, Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai said, Shlomo Aloch Malka, he welcomed, he said Shalom to the Malka, he said to the king, Omar Lei, so he answered him, Mishayeves Treik Tala, you should have to get killed twice. Chod the lav Malka, number one, I'm not the king. Vikakaris li Malka, and you're calling me the Malka. This is going back on what we discussed before, Vespasian. So he says, number one, you call me the king, you deserve to be killed for calling me the king, I'm not the king. Vesu, and secondly, I Malka, if I'm Haka the king, and I'm standing outside, he said, the Gemara said that he had sieged the Yerushalayim for 3 years. And if I'm the king, you know, then why didn't he come out from now? If you believe that I'm the king, some of the Farshim explain it's two separate things. In other words, first of all, I'm not the king, and therefore, for calling me the king, it's a time on you. You deserve to get killed for that. Secondly, according to you, who think I'm the king, that's why you want to say, are you calling me the king because you thought I'm the king? But then you should have come out earlier. Why did you wait? I'm already here 3 years. Why did you wait for that? And because of that, he's telling you that he had 3 years. But Ram Schiff says very interestingly, it's interesting how he says how people think. What was his problem? What was the Sassanian problem saying is that you should know that you called me the king, I'm not the king, and therefore you're Chayiv Misa. He says the reason why he's Chayiv Misa, Vespasian didn't want to argue with him. He wasn't the king, but you want to call me the king, that's fine. He only said that because he was scared that it would cause, that if the real king, the case, I would find out that Vespasian is allowing other people to call him the king, then he should be killed. So Vespasian only said that because he had to protect himself. But when Yerushalayim ben Zakkai called him the king, what's so terrible? He was just trying to make it like, oh, it's a Mary of the mouth of the king, but he didn't really mind it. Very safe and Amshir. Very interesting how, you know, he has to protect himself, but at the end of the day, yeah, call me king, it's fine. It's really not a problem. Don't think my writer. Amalei, Tabirchen ben Zakkai answered him. The Ka'omrit Lab Malka, no. The fact that you're telling me you have a taina me that you're not the king and I called you the king, that's your taina number one. Ibn Malka, don't worry, in the future you will become a king, you will be the king. Rashi says, Melech Ata Osadlius, you will in the future be a king. The Lab Malka, because if you were not the king, you were not going to be a king. The Yushalayim would never be given over to your hands. The Levonoin is Ba'ade in the Gibor, and the strong one, Yipo, will fall. The Ein Ade El Melech. When it says the word Ade in the Pasuk, it's referring to a Melech. A Gibor has to be a Melech. So a Levonoin, whatever Levonoin is, we might say in a second, is going to fall to a Gibor, Adir, who's an Adir Melech, the Chsev, Ahoye Adir Mimenu, the Ein Levonoin, El Mezen Midosh, and what is Levonoin? What are we talking about? What's the first word in the Pasuk, Levonoin? Levonoin has to refer to the Mezen Midosh, and Emma Har Atev Hazev Ahal Levonoin. So he says is that if you were not going to be the king, you're not the king, you're not going to be the king, then Yerushalayim will not fall into your hands, and by the fact that you are besieging Klal Yisrael for 3 years, and some of the Mefarshim explained that it's already as if it was already Chorav on some level, because there was a siege for 3 years and people were dying out. So it's already as if it was already Yipol, it already fell, because you could say as well, who says, you can ask the Kasher, who says that he's the Vespasian is going to be the one? Maybe he's going to die still. Who says he's going to, he's going to lose? But the Mefarshim explained that Yipol is going to fall, it already fell, by the fact that he was able to have such control, it was already together of falling. And the second question that you had on me, the second taina that you said I deserve misa for, was the ka'amrit, imalka ano, amai loy ka'asis ligaboy, and the taina that you had on me, that if I thought you were the king, why didn't I come to you? Ada idna until now. Bar yoini the isbon loy shafkinam. It wasn't by choice that I didn't come. The bar yoinim who are with me are in Yerushalayim, didn't allow me to come, I taka would have come. Amalei, so Bestasian answered him, Ilu chavish el devash, if there was a barrel of honey, v'darka in karachalel, and there's a snake that was wrapped around it, wouldn't you break the barrel because of the darkoin? Now, okay, let's continue. Ishtik. So Bechan ben Zakkai was quiet. Kari Allah Rabbi Yosef, Vitamer Rabbi Kiva. So Rabbi Yosef said on this that Rabbi Chaim ben Zakkai was quiet, and some say Rabbi Kiva as well said it. Meshiv Chachamim Ochor Vedaita Misachel. The Chachamim are turned backwards. Vedaita Miskel. And their das becomes a little bit foolish. They become sort of like a fool. Now, why is that? Why? Because Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai could have answered, Yiboy Leila Mei Malei. The Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai could have and should have answered this passage in Shaklina and Tzavsa, V'Shaklina Leila Dakin, V'Katlina Lei. V'Chavisa Shafkina Lo. What are you going to do? You have a barrel of honey with a snake coiled around it. So what are you going to do? You're going to break the barrel of honey to get the snake off it, then you're going to lose all your honey. You should have, Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai should have responded, take tongs, grab the snake off of the barrel, kill the snake, and then you have your barrel of honey. What was this big chap of Vespasian to tell him that, you know, that, oh, you know, you should have just broken the whole jug? That doesn't make sense. But Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai did not respond to this. It wasn't what he said. And he says the taina on him that he didn't answer. A few things. Why didn't Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai respond to that? So some explain that the reason is that the Rebbeinu Shel Olam that he didn't have this answer. It's taka pashut answer, and in theory he knew this and he should have had this. But at the end of the day, Rebbeinu Shel Olam didn't put him in his mouth. Didn't give him this answer. Everything that we have, no matter how smart we are, no matter how much we know, we need Siyata Dishmaya. And the Baruch Shalom says is, I'm not going to put it in his mouth now. He's not going to know this simple answer. Other Mephoroshim explained is that Faket. Rabbi Yechim Ben Zakkai knew this answer. He knew this. Why didn't he answer it? Because he wanted to give us Stasi and Kavod. Anyway, if you're going to sit there, sometimes you have to know when to let the other person win. He had an answer. It's a silly thing, the guy kind of. Imagine kind of the, you should break the whole jug of honey. Well, what is he thinking? He says, I'm going to let him think that he won, because it's going to end up to my benefit, as we'll see in the Gemara later, how it plays out. Ben Yehuda says, why does it say, why is he midama kal yisol to dvash? Beer, sha'atam shadima aspanis as yisol dvash. Why did the Stasian, he compared kal yisol to the honey? Honey, you're not allowed to bring to on the Mizbeach. They cannot be a bris Your time is up. The Rebbeinu Shalom did not want you in the Beis HaMikdash anymore. And that he compared the Bayonim to the snake. The snake is around the barrel. Saying the, what was the Vestrasian saying? The honey is officially Be'echem and Zak and the rest of Klal Yisrael. The Bayonim are the snake around the, that's keeping them captive. So why? What the Bayonim were doing is an action that the Nachash did. Because the Nachash brought death to the world. Because the Bayanim did this, what are they doing? We said, they're bringing death onto the world, onto Kal Yisrael. So that's why he compared them specifically to a Nachash. Discuss the parasha for a few minutes, and maybe connect it to what we're learning here a little bit. Parasha was Chanan. Es Chanan El Hashem Ve'ezah Hilemor. Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to go into Eretz Yisroel. Megal Amukis and others say, how many tefillahs did he daven? He davened 515 tefillahs that he wanted to go into Eretz Yisroel. Then Yeshua has a whole cheshbon 3 times a day for how many days. He has a whole cheshbon of what it was. And the Ribono Shel Olam told him, I'll tell you to daven Eilai Oiz B'Davar Hazeh. Hey, Moshe Eilai Rav Loch, I'll tell you to daven Eilai Oiz B'Davar Hazeh. 515 tefillahs. He didn't give up. Till the Ribono Shel Olam told him, that's it, stop. Unbelievable. There's a word that we mentioned in the beginning when we started the Gemara tonight. I looked around, I couldn't find the pshat. Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai told Baba Sikra, called him over and said, listen, you know, what are you doing this terrible chatoim for? You shouldn't do it. So he, Abba Sikra answered, they're going to kill me otherwise. So Rechem and Zakkai told him, listen, get me out of this place, get me out of Yerushalayim so I can try to help Klal Yisrael. And what was the word that we used? Omalei, chazilei tekantel di the epok, try to be, the takana will be to get me out of this city, efshir to have a hatzalah porter. Perhaps it will be a hatzalah, a saving porta, small. Why is Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai saying it's going to be hatzalah porta? Why does he say it? And hopefully there will be hatzalah. Now two things. I think he's talking about two things. Perhaps by Abba Sikra doing this, it will be saving Klal Yisrael, number one. And number two, it will save Abba Sikra. Because Abba Sikra now was being forced, he was telling Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai that he was being forced to be part of the Benjamin. He didn't want to, he was just scared for his life. So Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai is saying, maybe by you helping me out, and me helping Klal Yisrael, it will be a small hatzalah. Why does it have to call us a small hatzalah? Parshas Balak, it says in the Pasuk, Kapitel Chav Gimel Pasuk Yigimel, Vayomer Elov Balak, Bilam tried to curse Klal Yisrael in one place. It didn't work. He said, tell Balak, let's go to another place. The Gemara in Brachas tells us, Tamidei Avraham Avinu, Akeveya Mokim Letzilosai, they Akeveya a place for the Tefillah. If someone is a Talmud of Bilam, they don't have a Kriyas Mokim Letzilah. What does that mean? What does it mean to have a Kriyas Mokim Letzilah? What is the point in that? The Pshat is that Avraham Avinu, when he said, he went to Daven to the Rebbeinu Shlomo, and he asked for something, and he didn't get it. So he didn't say, well, let's see. I am a good guy. I am a big tzaddik. If I daven to Hashem, and he didn't accept it, there has to be outside circumstances that cause it. It must be I'm in a bad place. It must be the reception here is bad. I did a good job, you know, but I'm in a dead zone for my cell phone. It's not my fault. So Bilam, when it didn't work, he says, this can't be me. It didn't work, can't be me. Let's go to another place. It must be the Mokrim, the place. Avraham Avinu said, no, Avraham Avinu was a shiftless ruach. Avraham Avinu was with the Gedolim, the Tzadikim, the Ovois, Moshe Rabbeinu, Anovim. They are Anovim Gedolim. True Anivus. Obviously it's me. And he davened again. Mokrim Kavua Tfiyasa means that I'm not blaming anything else outside of myself. It's my fault. That's one part. Number two, a person has to know that every time he davens to the Rebbeinu Shalom, and he doesn't get answered, it doesn't mean that he didn't accomplish anything. Moshe Rabbeinu davened 515 times, he didn't give up. In the same place, he didn't go around. He just kept on davening the same tefillahs. The issue he says is that the tefillahs were shachat min chanarabi. He has a whole cheshbon, how that comes out to 515. He has the Shabbos, he has a whole cheshbon. But what do you say? That every tefillah helps. Even if we don't see it, it helps. But not only that, a lot of times a person thinks that he's not doing certain things correctly. He needs to do a tshuva. He needs to be much better. He has to go all the way. He was coming late to davening. He came 20 minutes late. He now has to come on time. On time. Now, while it's true, he definitely should be coming on time. But we have to know sometimes, often, we have to do things in small steps. Porta. The Abba Sikra was the Rosh Bayanim. He was the head of this evil group called the Bayanim. Rabbi Yechim ben Zakkai was telling him, listen, I don't know that if you're going to help me, you're going to have a complete Hatzalah. You're going to be safe from everything. You're going to go from being a Rasha all the way to a Tzaddik because he did this. But you should know, perhaps it'll bring a small saving, a small Hatzalah. When we dive into the Rebbeinu Shalom, we have to think every time that even if something wasn't part of the other time, we're going to try to keep on doing it again and again and keep on asking because each one has a Kayach. And secondly, Porta. Everything goes in small steps. We should realize that and know that even when we have an opportunity that we say is, oh, I'm going to start coming on time to davening, I come 20 minutes late, it's going to be too hard. It's not going to happen. You're not going to keep it. You have to do it in steps. And that's perhaps why Rabbi Yechim ben Zakkai explained to him. He says, is Abba Sikra, come. First of all, maybe the Baruch Hashem will help me. Hatzawa Porta, meaning I'm going to help Klai Yisrael a little. At the end of the day, what happened, we're going to see later, the Gemara Vayta, Rabbi Yechim ben Zakkai ultimately was given three, he was allowed to ask for some things, but there was still a Churban Beis Hamikdash. He did accomplish some things. There was a Hatzalah Porta. But that's also worth it. That's the Yisoid Rabbi Yechim ben Zakkai is telling him. Don't just think that only if you create a Hatzalah Gedolah, and you have Mordechai Nesed, there's a Hatzalah Gedolah, they'll call Yisrael. Don't think that, oh, if I can save everything and save Klal Yisrael, then it's worth everything, I should risk my life for it. But for Hatzalah Porta, leave it alone. So Rabbi Yechim ben Zakkai is teaching him, there's Hatzalah Porta. Perhaps we can accomplish a little, and that's also worth it. And not only that, if we can accomplish a little, you on your own level, Abba Sikra on your own level, you also, on a small level, Hatzalah Porta. Have a good Shabbos. Tomorrow night, I'm going to be giving a share on Chumash.